Hello and welcome to our podcast. Today's episode will be about the economics of the war on drugs.
Today, we're going to talk about the trade-offs, individual decisions, government, and supply and demand involved with the war on drugs.
The war on drugs is the name used to describe the U.S. domestic policy on the manufacturing, transportation, sale, and usage of illegal drugs. This started in November of 1971 when Richard Nixon declared the war on drugs, describing them as public enemy number one. Economics is the study of scarcity and how it affects our decisions. The U.S. has a fairly large demand for illegal drugs. However, there is a limited and short supply. Therefore, they are scarce.
This combination of an increase in demand, while supply stays the same, pushes the equilibrium price up. This same increase in price happens when supply is decreased, which is the government's goal in a drug war.
Over 50 years ago, the U.S. government, under Richard Nixon, declared war on drugs. He found what he thought was tearing American communities apart and made it the focus of his time in office. He wanted to decrease drug-related deaths, violence, and overall usage.
The government since then has spent trillions of dollars on different methods to try to stop the production, transportation, and usage of illegal drugs. This disrupted the circular flow of the drug trade as more money was used to stop drugs, which ultimately changed the flow of money and substances within the economy. Christopher Cohen, a professor at George Mason University, said, "The biggest issue is that there's a burden from an economic perspective, because when you make something illegal, it has a series of consequences that affect all areas of life."
Many people have different opinions on how the government should deal with this issue. This represents a trade-off between tax money spent and public safety. The opportunity cost of spending all this money to try to stop illegal drugs in the U.S. is money that could be spent on feeding hungry, ending homelessness, or education.
The consequences of a drug war pose not only economic downfall, but also social division. The criminalization of drugs is seen by many as racist. This is because certain policies explicitly target black communities for the same offenses as whites. For example, in 1986, Congress passed the Anti-Drug Abuse Act. The consequences of a drug war pose not only economic downfall, but also social division. The criminalization of drugs is seen by many as racist. This is because certain policies explicitly target black communities for the same offenses as whites. For example, in 1986, Congress passed the Anti-Drug Abuse Act.
This treated similar drugs, crack and powder cocaine, as very different. Crack was used mostly by minority communities, and powder cocaine was used mostly by whites. A possession of just 5 grams of crack called for a minimum sentence of 5 years, while it took 500 grams of cocaine for the same minimum sentence. This clearly targets minorities, showing the racism behind the policy.
Policing was also much more strict in communities of color, with no-knock warrants and raids happening almost daily in some cities, whereas in white communities, these were extremely rare. The preceding prosecution was also much more likely to find minorities guilty and punish them much harsher than whites.
Evidence of this intentional racism comes from the Nixon administration itself. John Ehrlichman, Nixon's domestic policy chief, allegedly told staffers that Nixon wanted to find a way to target the anti-war left and minorities.
Ehrlichman was quoted saying, "We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black, but by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and the blacks with heroin, and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did.
Believe it or not, we are halfway through the podcast, so we're going to hit you with a little pop quiz. Question one. In what year did the war on drugs start? A, 1972, B, 1955, C, 1992, or D, 1971?
Question two. With the amount of money the federal government has used to fund the war on drugs, what other issues could have been solved? A, funding the Red Cross for a year. B, building 100 soup kitchens. C, ending homelessness. Or D, all of these.
The answers to these questions and more after a short word from our sponsors.
Are you interested in agriculture, economics, or even just Wisconsin? If you answered yes to any of those questions, you should definitely go check out The Economics of Agriculture in Wisconsin by Owen Mesha, Ryan Foley, and Jackson Farrell.
Do you like to travel? Do you like economics? If so, you should listen to The Economics of Travel by Lulu Yarborough, Clara Treveni, Grayson Duncern, and Jacqueline Stevens. Now that we're back after the break, let's go ahead and answer these pop quiz questions. For question one, what year did the war on drugs start? If you said D, 1971, you are correct.
For question two, with the amount of money the federal government has used to fund the war on drugs, what other issues could have been solved? If you answered D, all of the above, including funding the Red Cross for a year, building 100 soup kitchens, and C, ending homelessness, you would have been correct.
Now you would think all this money spent to try to prevent these negatives that illegal drugs bring would be put to good use. However, this is not the case. The results have been severely underwhelming. It is almost as if the whole campaign has done more harm than good.
Many believe that the war and policies should be dramatically changed or even abolished. Without these policies, the drugs would be safer, as they could be regulated. This would also decrease violence, as much of the danger that the drugs bring is because of the high risk of violence between different groups associated with a certain drug.
The decriminalization would encourage and allow more people to get help that they desperately need. With help and no criminal charges, former addicts will be more likely to become high-functioning people in society. With a wealthier and more educated workforce, the more benefit to the circular flow and overall state of the economy.
Although this would increase usage of these drugs, with an accepting society, more will be done to make them safer. This will create an increased supply, as drugs will be much easier to transport and manufacture, creating a cheaper equilibrium price for the consumer. Since many addicts are spending money needed for the essentials, like food or shelter, on those drugs, they are left with little excess money to put back in the economy, leaving them more impoverished than before and creating a worse situation overall for the economy. With cheaper drugs, people will have more money to get the basics and become more careful with usage.
Although there are many positives to legalizing now illegal drugs, there are also obvious negatives. The legalization will give many more people access with the looming risk of addiction. This would also make teens more likely to consume, which is much more dangerous than if it were an adult. Society has still not come to a set conclusion about how this issue should be dealt with.
Nevertheless, the U.S. government has been spending trillions of dollars on methods to try to eliminate illegal drugs from society by using racist and out-of-date policies. Thank you for listening to our podcast about the war on drugs. How do you think this issue should be dealt with?
Do you think that the legalization of drugs would negatively affect the economy? If so, share your thoughts down below. We'd love to know what you have to say. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening.